We've got Action SA in the house. My name is Teboho Kotse. We bring you another current review episode. And like you said earlier, we spoke about the state of the province address, and I'm trying to keep up with the energy. And like the name says it all, we'll be having a chat to Mayor Patricia Kopano from Action SA in the Free State. She's the leader in the Free State for Action SA. And you know, Action, you know, had the Action game. Everybody boxing, but on. But we will be currently talking about the state of the province address that the Premier Dukwandi delivered last week, in terms of which he mentioned quite few issues, and there's some issues that he missed out, of which we've been getting different views from different political parties. And we will be getting an overall view from Action SA through Mayor Patricia Kopano, who's the current leader of the party in the Free State. So I'm Meko Pano Dumela Leka.
Dumela khaitse diaka, and ke lebohetse monyetla o le re fang ona. This is a very critical time in our country. We see there are so many things are happening, especially where I'm staying here. There is a self-made that is because there's a lack of political will. There is no leadership in the Free State.
Yeah. So in overall essence, the Premier delivered his plans for 2024-2025 period last week, whereby he touched on a number of issues. And there were also a number of issues that he didn't touch on, especially when it comes to issues of the unemployment rate in the province, corruption, the state of the current economic status in the province. So what's your take on those views and others maybe that you might have an opinion on?
Teboho, thank you so much for the opportunity again. I think it was a deliberate, action that the Premier, he avoided to talk about those issues, because you know very well in the province and everywhere in the country, the state of our economy, it is not growing. The reason being, the municipalities, they are dysfunctional. You know, in the Free State, we're having about 18 municipalities. According to the Auditor General report, it clearly says none of the municipalities have received clean audit. It's actually a shame. You know, his state of the province address is an insult to many people of South Africa. He sounded like somebody who was in a different planet, while South Africa Free State people who were in a different planet. One of the things is that if you look at the municipality currently, there is no way the economy of the municipality will grow if the state of the roads, they are so bad. There is no basic service delivery that is rendered. There are municipalities, more than 23 towns, there is constantly no water. We know that the electricity have a huge impact on many business in our province. You know, last year when he delivered his state of the province address, one of the key fundamental things that he mentioned, he said he's going to make sure that all big projects, especially housing, even specifically mentioned that there's an 11,000 backlog of housing, is going to be completed. There will be job creation. People will be having houses. But as I'm speaking with you right now, we know he spoke about Dark City here in Mangaung, where more than 500 units of houses have been built since 2016. Still, they are not completed. There is no plan that he mentioned about it. The houses are left dilapidated. They are not, people are not still not having houses. You know, he mentioned about the hostel G, hostel G, hostel G19 or yeah, G in Welkom. You know that those hostels, that those houses, those apartments, they were built as far as 2019. Still today, they are dilapidated, left empty. People, they don't have houses. The very same province of the Free State. Last month, I think last month, we lost about 600 million that was budgeted to build houses in the Free State. But that money was never touched. Nobody was built a house. I was no house was built at all. So it's a shame, it's an insult to the people of the Free State. Today, the people who have invaded, about more than 6,000 people invaded the land that I just mentioned, is because they've lost confidence in this government. Currently, Mangaung, even the national government, I happen to have been in the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure. Government doesn't have an asset register that clearly indicate where are the buildings of government, where are the buildings of the municipalities, where are the national buildings of government? Because there are many buildings that are left unattended. They can be converted to residential houses, but nothing is happening. So the economy of the Free State, it is not growing. Only on paper, as the premier, when he said about many plans that never materialize, he's not doing anything. Currently, we're having about projects that are about more than 1.9 billion that cost this province. He said they will be completed, not even a single one of them. The biggest police station, Park Road here, 100 million was budgeted, about 38 million was given to three contractors. They left, did the shady job. Nothing, nobody was held accountable. How do you expect the investors to come and invest in a province where the level of unaccountability is not happening? One thing that he didn't mention deliberately is, though he mentioned partially, and I want to sensitize people, is the Department of Education. Free State, according to the annual report that clearly shows all the provinces, Free State, the grade 10, we had about 63,000 grade 10s. Out of those 63,000, only 23,671 they wrote and they failed. What happened to the rest of the student? Now we are happy that the matric results are better, but the annual report of the Department of Education clearly shows Free State were accused of keeping the student at grade 11 so that only few students they can go and write the matric. Those who are poor learners, they are kept at grade 11. It's an insult to the people of South Africa. We cannot play games with the education of our own children. Many municipalities, the economic prosperity is not going on. Look at Machabeng. Machabeng is owing about 5 billion to the water board, 5 billion to the electricity. We know many municipalities in the Free State, they can't even pay their own employees. But what do you expect? Look at Mangaung, the only metro that is under administration, but even today, it's still struggling to get its feet on. Why there are people from national government who's supposed to be assisting them? We still don't have water many times in this place. Refuse is not even being removed. There's a sewer everywhere. But you know what is an insult? What is even more painful? I do have a letter here that was written by the Minister Kodongwan, written to the Finance MEC, Mrs. G. Brown in the Free State, where it was showing that out of 18 municipalities, 12 municipalities, they've lost about 195 million of the grants that were budgeted for. But that money, we lost it back to the National Treasury, was not used. Look at it in the Bloemfontein, Mangaung, where Mangaung lost 75 million for informal settlement upgrading. The premier, he didn't even want to talk about those things. Look now in Masilonyane, a small municipality here outside Mangaung. That municipality, do you know the people, they stay from the 14th of December until middle of February without water? But it's among the municipality that lost 5 million for water service infrastructure grant. They couldn't use the money that was available. You can talk about the municipal infrastructure grant. Nine municipalities, they've lost 67 million that was not used. Currently, we're having a problem with electricity. 12 municipalities lost 10 million that was there for integrated national electrification program. So it clearly shows there is no leadership. ANC have run out of ideas. That's why people are taking law into their own hand. And I don't condone what people has done to invade land, but it is clear that the government, they don't even respect the constitution. The constitution of South Africa, it is clear and it's very obvious. Chapter 25 of the constitution, when you talk about property, it clearly shows that government has the power. They can use the legislative, resources and everything to make sure that they speed up the process of land distribution. There is a land there. Why they don't give people land? People, what I have seen this past weekend from Saturday to today, I went to see the people who are invading the land. There are people who are working. The people say we don't want RDP. We want to build our own houses of our own dreams. We want land, and government had land. Why are they not speeding up the process for people to access land? And I don't blame them. According to the Constitution, the same Constitution of South Africa, Section 26, everyone has a right to access house. It is the responsibility of government to make sure that they come with reasonable legislative and other resources to make sure that people, they have housing. That is what is important. But nothing is happening in the Free State. And it is sad because government is spending millions of money to the senior officials in government. The salary bill is so high, but the outcome is zero. People, they're still homeless. Those are the things that are bothering us in the Free State. It clearly shows that there's no leadership.
Patricia, earlier you touched on something very, very critical and important, investment into the province. Do you think the investment confidence within investors it's at its right point, or it's at its peak to come and invest into a province that has got high unemployment rate? And our province has been regarded as slow pacing. We're moving at a snail pace. Do you think the investor confidence? Because why I'm raising this issue is based on the fact that before the state of the province, the premier did host an investment summit whereby he was actually saying he's reassuring people, investors, to come into the province and invest. So your take on that situation?
Before, luckily, I happened to be a professional nurse before I became a politician. There is no way you can take a corpse, a dead body, you want to resuscitate it, and then you say to people, I'm going to make sure this person is going to stand up, is alive. That is what the premier is saying. This seminars that is doing does nothing. It's not going to do us anything. Currently, how do you expect the investor confidence to go high in a province where there is no electricity? Because many businesses are closing down because there is no sustainable electricity, there is no water, municipality cannot provide service, the corruption is high. Free State, we're a beautiful province where there's agriculture, but I can tell you where I'm sitting right now. 2 weeks ago, I was in Ficksburg at the border post. Our borders are so porous. People come in our country illegally and they commit serious crimes, like drugs in the Free State is worse. I happened to have visited a police station in Mahokeng in Kroonstad. My heart was so broken because the community say, hey, Patricia, the commander there, I
Commander,
said,
yeah.
people are complaining. But he said to me, Patricia, I'm having 23 private investigation office. Look, there's only one car that is working. So nobody will come in a country where there's no service delivery, there's no water, where the municipality cannot render service. So the investor confidence, no matter how beautiful is our province, as long as there's no leadership. That's why HNSA, we said, when we come into power, the first thing that we need to do is to make sure you employ people who are confident, people who are qualified to do the job. That's what you do. You fight corruption. Corruption is something that steals from the poor. Emin Mashaba, when he became a mayor, You remember the Scorpion was established. Mr. Sibiya was the head of the Scorpion during the right time when after democracy. He took the very same Mr. Sibiya, he established an anti-corruption unit, and they recovered more than 2 billion in the municipality through what? They were investigating how the municipality is losing money. Firstly, there was a lot of money for people going overseas trips. Mashaba, he stopped that. There were about more than 100 and something buildings that were illegally taken by illegal immigrant. But he had the political will. He went to speak to the owners that were in South Africa who lost hope about their own buildings. Others were overseas. He went to the court, the High Court, and he requested these municipalities, the High Court, to give him the permission to change those buildings. And he went through to the private sector. They spent more than 22 billion to build those buildings for residential purpose. That's how you stimulate the economy, the investment, the investor confidence will come if government is proactive. But our government doesn't care. They don't look after our own people. You know, it was heartbroken for me to be in Springfontein in Kopano, where I took some of the people who were not paid salaries by that municipality. They say, Patricia, the last time we earned our salary, it was in November. They are having the medical aid in their hand. The medical aid has elapsed. They say, how can we retire when it's supposed time to retire? Because the pension is never paid to the pension. So that is an illegal, is a criminal offense. That's why we open criminal charges against the municipalities. We need a caring government. That's all that we need. Investor confidence will come up.
Hey Patricia, I'm going to come to the health sector. Especially given your background in the health industry. The current state of our health, I don't want to say department, health institution, the hospitals and clinics in the province, it's at its poorest. And it's 30 years into democracy. It's 30 years of whereby things should have been way better for our people, because government has spoken about the medical bill that NHI what I forgot what it's called, and also we saw the current department also they launched an app that says it's going to help people. But you look at the current, you walk into Bongani, you walk into National, let me not say Bellarmine, I mean National Hospital. National, when you have a conversation with the community, say they will tell you they don't want to go to National because they call it a morgue. What are you as Action SA, what's your take about the current health system in our province? And what changes would you promise the people? Because I'm asking you in this situation, this is 10 to 2 elections right now. And I want to hear your mindset in terms of how would you would change the current health system, because it's not beneficial to our people. Our people are still struggling. I saw a campaign on TikTok the other day. Young doctors in the country are complaining that they are not getting employment. And when you walk into a hospital and you ask them, why are you only working with one doctor on a night shift? They're like, we don't have doctors. But you've got tons and tons of young professionals that have qualified that can be utilized. What would be your take on that?
Deboho, thank you so much for asking me this question. To be honest with you, the state of our health care, even in the country, I happen to have been in a portfolio committee of health in parliament, is on a decay. It's a reality, it is not a joke. Why am I saying this? You mentioned many hospitals. And I've done oversight to those hospitals. We need to make sure, if you remember, there was an amendment of the National Health Act where I was in Parliament when we're introducing that all the healthcare facilities, there must be norms and standards to make sure that they are functioning properly. And one of the key things that was very important was to create the Office of the Ombudsman. But what was funny during that time, you can even go to the archives of Parliament. I was against that the office of the ombudsman, currently he's appointed by the minister and he's reporting to the minister. His power is to investigate whether public and private, they are complying. Are they providing good service delivery to the people? But currently, the office of the ombudsman, because it's funded by the minister is not funding the office of the ombudsman sufficiently so, and they cannot do their job without, without fear. They are doing their job with fear because they are relying on the minister to give them money. As HNSA, we said the office of the ombudsman, we are going to make sure that it's going to function independently. And the ombudsman must be appointed by parliament, by parliament, and must funded by parliament, must report to parliament. And the ombudsman must be given the adjudicative power where it must say that when we find this facility, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this facility and this thing. So, but up to this now, the healthcare facilities, they don't comply with with what the Constitution is saying. So that's what we're going to do. And secondly, as HNSA, we are going to make sure that we improve the conditions where doctors and nurses are working. Currently, doctors and nurses, their work is so overwhelming. The patient load is so high, but there are no nurses, there are no doctors. That is a problem that we find. And how do you expect a nurse or a sister to be on duty, knowing that there is no medication that you are going to give to patients? There is no clean linen. You talk about the filing, they talk about digitalization and everything. Files are still lying on the floor, people are still sleeping on the floor. Those environments, they are not conducive for nursing. And if you go to our hospital, even the safety of nurses, even including the patients, it is not there. Many people, they've been assaulted. There are incidences where doctors were killed in hospital. It is still the same environment. So as HNSA, we're going to make sure that the safety of nurses and doctors come as a priority. You talk about the NHI. I was in Parliament when this NHI was tabled in Parliament as a white paper. And where there were about 10 pilot projects that were done. All 10 pilot projects of NHI, all of them failed. ANC, they just won to play with the emotions of people. It is just a pipe dream thing that will never happen. The government on coasting, when they come with NHI, it was clearly saying that as a South Africa, we need to triple the numbers of doctors, the numbers of nurses that we have. You must remember, our own a university cannot produce more than 3,000 medical doctors per year. So how are we going to implement NHI? We know many nursing colleges have been closed. We are not going to produce nurses that we want. And that is the reality of NHI. It's not something that is achievable. The other thing that I want to tell you as a loophole in our healthcare system, that HNSA, what we are going to do. We know there is a Health Professional Council of South Africa that it is responsible for the curriculum of doctors and their conduct. And annually they pay a subscription. Same with South African Nursing Council, where you pay your monthly subscription. They look for the conduct of nurses to protect the public, even the curriculum, the training, whether is it the right training for them to provide a good service to the patient. But let me tell you the loopholes. The loopholes is the Health Professional Council of South Africa. They have doctors who pay every year annually their subscription. But Health Professional Council, it is not even sure how many of those doctors there are in the country. Many of our doctors, they don't practice in the country. They've run away because of the conducive that they are overloaded with a lot of work. They ran to the private sector. They are busy leaving the country. And let me assure you, the curriculum of our doctors and nurses are of good quality. That's why our South African nurses and doctors, they are in the developed countries. They are there. You go to the United Kingdom, you find South African nurse, South African doctors, they are there. You go everywhere. It's because we are well trained. But the unfortunate part, we don't have a caring government that is there to protect our nurses and doctors. Same with South African Nursing Council. Many of our nurses, they left the country, but there's no system in place to say, out of so many nurses that are qualified, where are they? Are they in the country or not? That is a problem. And Action SA, we are going to make sure that that one must be put on the grid. We need to have a control of how many people are in our country and how many people we can budget so that they can render service. That is the thing that we are going to do when we come into government as Action SA. And something that is also important, it is important that when we employ people to run our hospital, the hospital board must be equipped with people with health background, ex with people with expertise. In some few days to come, you will see when Dr. Herman will be announcing people who will be heading many portfolio committees in Parliament. We had people or caliber of people who are hardworking South Africans, who have expertise, who have knowledge. We are no longer tired of our critical department who are run by cadre deployment. We want people with expertise. That's what we are going to do when we run our healthcare system. And something that is also important, we are going to make sure that the primary healthcare, because it's at the face of people, it must be well funded. It's unfortunate that in our country, I've said it even to the previous minister, Motsoaledi, when I was in the com when I was working with him, when he was heading health. I said the most key thing, we must invest in a primary health care. We are even taken to Cuba to learn how Cuba is running primary health care. The money is invested in primary health care because it is cheap. We prevent the disease. Clinics must be open 24 hours, must be well equipped. It's only people that are having serious illnesses who can go to the curative hospital, who can go to this big hospital. That is a crisis that we are having. Currently, there's a backlog of operations because many of the hospitals, they don't even have the generators. They are not even well serviced. Those are the conditions that they find themselves. You know, I was so heartbroken when I was in Tennessee. One of the clinics, the sisters, they were closing down this clinic at 12 o'clock because there is no water. What does it say? Many of our people, we know they don't have medical aid. They can't go to this private hospital. But because of government, that is not working. That is why clinics are closed. So when Action SA become into power, we will make sure that we get people at who are run the administration of the hospitals being people that have skills, people that is caring, professional
Let's
people. That's what we are going to do.
let me shift your focus a bit, because we are coming to our conclusion. There's two sectors in let me say two departments that I feel that they are being neglected, and it has caused a huge frustration, especially amongst the young people, due to the unemployment rate and the high unemployment rate that we have in the province. And these sectors are the arts and culture, and it's the arts and culture and the tourism sector. They are poorly neglected, and we are seeing other provinces like in Gauteng, KZN, and Western Cape, that these two sectors are actually being, they are also part of the priority because they tend to create employment, because young people can create employment for themselves through these sectors. And we saw last year that Makhube didn't take place. And this year we saw that Makhube is coming back because there's a tender out. What's your take on the lack of investment in these sectors?
Teboho, to be honest with you, I'm happy that you raised this issue of young people. And if you remember, our party, we stand that the borders must be well secured. Because of the borders that are so porous, Do you know how many illegal immigrants there are in our country selling the drugs to our youth? You know, I happen to have been in a Mafura here in it's one of informal settlement, though it's developing now gradually. You know, youth during the day, they just on drugs full time. That's when I was doing door to door. It is heartbroken. And the students, they are so creative. You won't believe the caliber of the activists, people that I'm working on the ground. P Black people, they are resilient, they are hardworking, they are so innovative. And you could see that they just like a government that will just ignite, you know, their life with something. That is all that is left. Why have we closed all this? They used to call it Ambach School or a revocational, you know, the TVETs and everything. Students, they must go there and be given different skills. It's not everyone who's a material of the university. That's one thing for sure. Why we need to open those, you know, those colleges so that student can be empowered with, you know, with skills to so that they can work for themselves. And primarily, I also want to indicate it is not the responsibility of government to create jobs, but is to come with enabling environment so that a small business they can be sustained, can be supported, people can work for themselves. That's what is important. Even the private, the big business, if government is working with big business, they can help the community, especially the youth, to become something. For example, here in the Free State, we are centrally placed amongst other 8 provinces. We are a place that is so beautiful, mountainous. There's a lot of people who comes overseas to come in the Free State to, you know, to see what we don't, we know what we don't see because we are here, we just see informal settlement. They are excited with mountains, you know, the rivers, the history where we come from as a province. So those tourism youth supposed to be involved in those programs. But unfortunately, government doesn't invest. You can go to any one of the places for relaxation. I was here at Naval Hill. It used to be a beautiful place, park, where the tourists will go there, relax half of the day on their way to Cape Town, on their way to Gauteng, on their way to Durban. But it's so dirty. So nobody can visit those places. Department of Arts and Culture was one of the department that there was an investment. But unfortunately, it happened to be used as a cash cow for those you know, comrades to benefit themselves. It's actually an insult that Makufe couldn't happen. Do you know how many people who are not Free Staters, when you talk about Makufe, they will tell you, Patricia, we will be there. We are looking forward to come to Makufe. It is a shame, but I want to say at this point in time, I want to thank somebody like Obuti Freddie Kenny to come up to see when government was failing with other people. They said, we cannot see or we cannot just let Free State down. Let's come with something similar like Makufe to do that as private people. That's what we are looking for. Let the private people stand up because the government is failing. South African people, let's come, let's all stand up and do things that is right so that we save our life. Because currently we are having a government that is uncaring. Many of our children who are supposed to be at the universities, they are not at the universities. They are roaming the street, you know, smoking the drugs. And we don't even have the rehabilitation centers. You know, I was at the CUT and at the University of the Free State. I was so heartbroken to see how many students travel from far, from poor back, you know, from families that are so poor, they were looking for education. But still, they couldn't be assisted with any funding. But go and check the national budget that was made by the Minister of Finance in a country, Mr. Ino Godongwan. Look at the money that has been budgeted for the VIP protection. Why the ministers have to have the bodyguards? Why the students of this country who are deserving to be at school, they are roaming the street? That is something that the South Africans, We need to stand up. This cannot happen under our name. The education of our children is so important. If you want to destroy any nation, you destroy the youth. That's what this government is doing. They are destroying our youth. And as Action SA, we believe that education is a key fundamental thing. Educate the youth so that the economy, there will be a society will be prosperous. That's what you need to do. This department that you mentioned, they are very important. Business people, let's stand up and protect our community. I think that's what we need to do. Let's close the borders. We are not against if foreigners, but we said let them come legally in our country. And we're looking even for people from outside who are bringing the skills that will come and help us to stimulate our economy. As that's what we are looking for. As much as we go to their own country, we respect their laws, we go legally. That's how you need to protect our youth. That's all that we'll be doing as a GNSA. Let's make sure that our youth have a better future, because any nation without youth, that they are educated, they are skilled, nothing will happen. There is no prosperity in that society. So as Action SA, we will make sure that each and every cent is spent on the education of our children. Look now at look what is happening with the grade 8 students when they fail standard 10. It's because the transition from when they started the early childhood development center, there is no focus on the first stage when a child was born while he's still there. Education of a person, you can't focus when he's in grade 8. It's too late. You have destroyed that child. So as Action SA will make sure the education, we start from early childhood development until the people they are at high school and go to the universities, goes to the TVET. That's what we are going to do. Energy crisis that we're having in this country. Action SA, what we're saying, we want to make sure that many business must be created, come up with renewable, sustainable energy so that everyone must have electricity. When there is more competition, the market is open. We are not only getting electricity from Eskom, the electricity will be cheap. That's what we are saying. These new people who are at the university, let them give them skills, be the one running this business, because there's a lot of sun, there's a lot of wind in South Africa. So why are we not having energy, sustainable energy? Those are the things that we want to do. And we believe in the rule of law. Currently, the laws in this country, they are protecting the rich, the politician, at the expense of the poor people. So we want the rule of law where all of us who are equal before the law. Companies that have stolen money from government in the Free State, we are going to reinvoke Section 28 of to the National Treasury of saying all tenderpreneurs that have stolen money, they didn't finish the project, they must be blacklisted, never do business with government. That's how we are going to protect our Free State. Free State is a beautiful province. It just need the leaders who have ethics and morals will respect people. That's all that we need.
Patricia, whether I need to dedicate an hour and a half and have a podcast with you, because I can see as you're talking, like they keep on coming. You know, how about highlighting to this point, you jump on to another one. And you are mentioning key points that are actually critical and they need attention. And these are pointers that I bet you every South African is also raising it. Majority of South Africans are concerned about the current status of our country. And we feel that political parties actually, they make promises. They make promises. The current political party has made promises and they failed to deliver on some promises. They've delivered on some. And like you say, corruption is on the top of the list with South Africans. Unemployment is the second. Energy crisis also hampers the international investment coming into the country. There's so many issues. That's why I get like Rowena. We need to dedicate like an hour and a half and just sit there and just listen
Yes.
to you. Because I can hear for that you're quite strong and you've got factors that actually can actually change. But unfortunately, I don't have much time. I would love to have actually carried on this conversation, but we will bring you back and actually give you that time, sufficient time, because there is a program that we're working on. And you know, from my point, continue the hard work, continue informing South Africans, continue doing what you guys do, and all the best in terms of campaigning. They say it's 5-2
Yes.
elections. And like we say, I don't know if you have any closing remarks, but I'm going to limit you to 15 seconds. When I know you need an hour, but I'm
Yes.
going to limit you to 15 seconds. But if you can just give me a closing remark, I'll be the happiest person on the planet.
Tebu. You know what? As action as say, I just want to say to South African people, we're a democratic country as South Africa. We can only change our circumstances through the ballot paper. We cannot be voting the same party for 30 years. You expect different outcomes. That is insanity. So there are opportunities there. There is Action SA. We say, please lend us your vote. We are going to change South Africa. Our president, you have seen what I've done in this province. I've actually put my life on the block because there need to be somebody who will come about to talk about things that anybody else doesn't want to talk about it. So we need to sacrifice our life. Let's stand up. Let's save South Africa. I'm not going to go anywhere. Please, on the 29th, go and vote Action SA. We are ready to change South Africa.
Thank you, Ms. Patricia. Yeah, I know, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it all. Yeah, very soon. I don't want to get into too many plans, but I know our producers are working on it. We're going to have a very interesting political debates leading up to the elections, whereby we're going to be calling different political parties. We'll be putting it on the table. I'm going to leave no stones unturned. And yeah, the likes of Bo Patricia, I'm gonna be on that table. It's gonna be very interesting. But without wasting time, ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Patricia, thank you very much for availing yourself. And I humbly and appreciate you and your action. And like I said earlier, all the best and thank you all for reaching out. And ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna be going into our last interview in a few minutes, whereby yeah, we're going to be getting a different feel. Like, this is interesting. You guys are actually you're getting my mind to work. And yeah, now I can't wait for those big debates. I'll be ready for
Yes.
them. So thank you very
Okay.
much, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go too far. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're having a conversation with the DA. Thank you.